Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We also meet on the second and fourth Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. for Bible study, prayer, and fellowship. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
We have ears to hear and eyes to see and hearts that are open to you right now. So Holy Spirit, we ask that you would speak to us everything we need to hear. Anoint your servant as she ministers this word. We receive it by faith and we thank you for it, that we'll walk out of here changed from what we are to what you want us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Let's give pastors a good hand. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to see how many of you here are mothers that had to actually help your children dress today. I want to see. Let me see. I want you to stand up. You deserve to be recognized. I'm going somewhere with this. Yeah, give them a hand. Now you sit down. I want to see the dads or the extra aunts or whoever it was that helped these mothers. Stand up. Who do you mean these moms? Yeah, all right, woohoo! My point exactly. Do I need to say any more? God bless you, moms, getting up, living the example in front of your children when you're exhausted, too. Out of you, mothers that stood up, I want to see you that work a full-time job. I want you to stand up. I want to see you. Those of you that stood up, come on. I want some appreciation here. Amen. You may be seated. Now, that doesn't make the rest of you any less. But I just think that sometimes the effort is extremely high. And I think that the intention has to be really set in a real firm foundation to follow through and go the distance. Because it'd be real easy to get discouraged. I remember back when we were senior pastors and I had three little ones and I was trying to get them together and get them to church. And honestly, I felt like I needed to get saved again because my attitude stunk. Nobody was doing what I wanted and it didn't seem that I had the help I needed. How many of you felt that way? But you're here, shake it off, just like Pastor Chuck said, whatever's been done's done. You're here, and let's receive what the Lord has for us today. Now, I want all of you to know that I recognize that it is a full intention that you're here. And God recognizes that. But I want those of you that came here without fear for your life, or your safety, those of you that came today with that frame of mind, I want you to stand up. Those of you, I'll say it again, that came here without fear for your life or fear for your safety, I want you to stand up. And as we stand together, I want us to thank God for the freedom we have, for the provision God has given New Song. We not only have the freedom, we not only do not fear for our life or our safety, but God has blessed us in a sanctuary that is amazing. We are a blessed people, and God's going to hold us accountable for these blessings. And the first mode of accountability today is because we are safe, we're not fearful for our lives, we're dry, we're warm, we're blessed, we have a responsibility today to thank the Lord first of all, and second of all, we need to pray for the saints. So together, let's pray, then you can be seated. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for this building. We thank you for our pastors. We thank you for our brothers and sisters that are standing beside us. We thank you for our country, that our laws are such that we afford the peace to get in our cars and come and worship you without fear for our life. We thank you today. We praise you, God. We know this is a blessing, and we thank you. Now, Lord, we pray for the saints. Different ones of us will think of different countries, and we'll think of our missionaries. But today, we ask for the favor of the Lord upon the saints, those that are giving their lives, those that are watching their own children be tormented, those that are standing for their faith. We pray that you would minister to absolutely every need and give strength, and that you would add souls to the kingdom of God. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I really struggle with enjoying my blessings unless I take a moment to really understand that I am not entitled, and that I have not earned 1 ounce of this blessing. And I am extremely grateful. How many of you have children that you've gotten so aggravated because they just act entitled? And you did it to them. I mean, but you did. You got aggravated, didn't you? Okay. Well, today, we're going to establish something about what God has done for us. And we want to be intentional about what he's done. Pastor Chuck revealed the plan ahead for New Song. And it involves every one of us. Where do we fit at New Song? Where do we fit in the kingdom of God? So I want you to follow me with this message, because it's a very simple message, but it's God-breathed. Pastor's been doing a wonderful job ministering to us about happiness. How many's been attending those sessions? Been good, haven't they? It seems that has been the subject of interest even in the secular community. I'm going to throw some names out there. Some of you guys may be avid readers, and you may know some of these authors. Joe Loizzo came out with a book called Sustainable Happiness. Catherine O'Brien and Ian Murray wrote Sustainable Happiness, 6 Ways to Get There. Sounds easy, doesn't it? Gretchen Spritzer and Christine Pora state that happy employees are more productive than unhappy employees. Go figure, I wonder why. They go on to say that happy employees could be interpreted as thriving employees. It seems that the world around us recognizes the value that individual happiness brings to not only oneself, but additionally to the community. Pastor has been teaching us the last few Sundays on how to thrive. Don't you believe that happiness is conducive toward thriving? The question is how do we sustain this? And if you noticed in your bulletin, we've got 3 questions. Number 1 is, how do we sustain happiness? Number 2, how do we sustain a state of thriving? And number 3, how do we sustain a consistent walk in all areas of our life? This brings us to consider a concept that many of us just let go right over our heads. Real quickly, before I make the next statement, how many of you were raised to go to church and pretty much didn't get a choice when you were kids? I would say that's a good 60% of us or more. Okay, so this is going to make sense to you. Discipleship, the mere mention of this word immediately has the sound of a language all its own. Something called Christianese. Some of us have made that word up. If you English majors will indulge me this morning. Christianese, the word discipleship. You know, it's sometimes we have to reevaluate. What we're saying, is it really landing? Or is it going over our heads? Have you said something so much to your children, it's just like, check back in. Do you hear me? Well, I sometimes think that's what happens when we mention the word discipleship. So I think that we need to evaluate. Such is the case, I think, with discipleship. We will evaluate. I believe that discipleship is the key to answering the above questions. It's that simple. Simply put, discipleship means to teach and train. The expected outcomes are maturity, growth, and development with a consistency. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Does it sound like a foreign language I'm talking about? Okay, let's stay with it here. So to sustain our elusive goal of happiness, I heard it asked the other day. Somebody was being interviewed, you know, what moment in your life do you recall the most amazing point of happiness, like the biggest high of your life? The answers were varied. Some of the answers for women were the moment they gave birth to a child. Have you already decided what that moment was for you? The most highest point of happiness that you've experienced in this life. The heightened emotion of happiness. Real quick, somebody throw it out there. When you gave your life to the Lord. Somebody else?
My 60th birthday.
My 60th birthday, all right. Hey, that's an accomplishment. Someone said something over here. Let's give this man a hand. God bless you. I would love to hear all of you, but I guess we better keep going, because I have a lot to cover in a little bit of time. You know, we all reach a place of something called epiphany. It's like when the light bulb comes on. How many of you know where I'm going? Are we tracking? It's like all of a sudden you can see so clear. And for me and for all of you that have asked Christ in your life, it was like the light bulb coming on. Heaven became extremely real all of a sudden, because you really believe that Jesus Christ is truly the Son of God, and that he truly is the one that saves our soul, and that there is a life beyond this life. And there's this, all of a sudden, there's this epiphany. The light has come on. God is real. Just this last week, I was reading that that some archaeologists from Egypt, did anybody read this? This was so exciting. Some archaeologists from Egypt, they were looking for old ships and stuff down in the Red Sea. And guess what they found? They found 5,000 Egyptian army guys. Wonder where they came from. And how many people have been trying to convince us that's just a fictional story? Oh my gosh, is that not awesome? But anyway, at this point, you come to a place, God is real. These are not fictional stories. This is real. So we come to that point to where we feel the presence of the Lord. Some people ask Christ in their heart, and they don't really feel anything. My brother David didn't. He didn't feel anything until he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. So I want to be very, very careful to recognize all of us of our experiences. But many of us, when the Lord introduces himself, he allows us to feel his presence. And I just the other day, we had a young man that's been a part of our family for about 12 years. And I've been asking him to church off and on through all these years, and he finally came, and Antonio, I don't see Antonio, but I want to say bless Antonio. He prayed with him to the prayer of salvation. And so when I went back and I asked Lance, I said, Lance, you know, how do you feel? Do you have any questions? He said, I can't explain it. But I felt something that started right here and went through me. And he said, I have never felt anything like that before in my life. And he said, everything Pastor said was so clear. He had an epiphany. God introduced himself. And just like the wind, we can see the results of the wind, but we can't see the wind. God introduced himself with his presence, and there was a point of contact with the Creator. And that's happened to many of us. But what's next? What happens next? Well, we read the scripture about John, in John chapter 3, about Nicodemus and Jesus' conversation, and how that Jesus had told Nicodemus, you've just got to be born again. And Nicodemus says, how on earth can I get back into my mom and that process happen again? In other words, Nicodemus, I don't think, really believed. He thought he was probably crazy there. That just didn't make sense to him. But Jesus lets him know that not only are you born of flesh, you were born in a lot of pain from your mom, but there's a point at which that there's a rebirth spiritually when you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. How many of you in that process of getting to that rebirth, how many of you that you were, it's like something was pregnant with purpose, but you didn't quite get it, and there were a lot of pains. And there may be many of you represented today that you have thoughts and pains of memories that you're not proud of. But you know, it's just part of the birthing process. God uses all those stupid decisions we make, the things that other people do to us, the pains in life. He uses those things to draw us to recognize that we need a Savior. And at some point, we are birthed. Now, here's the thing, is what do we do now? You know, we hear all these get-rich things and these formulas about how to be a successful person, how to thrive. But this morning, I don't have anything new for you other than the truth. And the truth is that we can't survive unless we're in a journey of transformation. And many of us start this journey, we have this epiphany, this moment of the lights come on. We've understood that our Maker is real. We've accepted him as our Lord and Savior. But for some reason, we just can't seem to get beyond that moment. And then we step into our world again to be utterly, like, overwhelmed. It's like walking into a room that there's so much noise going on, and it's so hot, and there's no air conditioning. It's like it just sucks the life out of you. Many of you, you have jobs, you have careers, you have children, you have ball games, soccer games, you have extra meetings, you have deadlines, you have so many things going on that the very life of you feels like it's getting squeezed out. But yet, how does this moment with the Lord and Savior translate into this happiness and peace that we've had found when we accepted him? How does this become a lifestyle? How does this become real? Translates into, this really helps me through my struggles. How does this happen? Well, it's very, very quickly, I'd like to cover three practices that I believe will absolutely help us to be on that journey of transformation, of being able to have sustained peace, sustain happiness, sustain thrivability, sustain consistency. Number one, and if you want to write these down, is getting to know Jesus. Gosh, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that was the beginning of a relationship. How do you have a relationship if you don't know what color that other person's eyes are? You don't know the twitch in their face when something bugs them. If you don't know their thoughts on how to handle something, you don't know their favorite foods or their most hated foods. I mean, how do you have a relationship if you don't get to know someone? And those of you that someone didn't tell you how to start the foundation well, and to start this journey of transformation with the grace of God, I would encourage you to get the book of John. And if you're struggling with reading the New Testament, if you're struggling to read the Bible because it just, I mean, I'll just be honest, it might seem boring to you. It may seem unrelatable to you. That's why things become boring, because it seems unrelatable. Well, it may not be in the translation you need. For those of you that need just good street talk, The Message is a really good Bible, okay? You need something. My husband really likes a message because it's just down to earth, right where his feet hits the ground. That works for him. I like the New King James. I happen to like that. I like the Amplified. Did you notice on the Amplified how it had some brackets that threw in some explanations to where it kind of got us out of the Christianese thing, you know, and we got some words that actually meant something to us. So the moment something begins to mean something to us, then we step out of boredom and we begin to engage and connect. And so my encouragement to you is not set your goals so big that you'll never be able to keep them. But start out small. But the idea here is be faithful. Be faithful. Start out small. So get to know the Lord. Now, when we get to know the Lord, I want to explain something to you. 1 Peter 2, verse 2 and 3. And boy, I got to talk fast. I could probably make several sermons out of this. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Now, how many of you have ever heard of failure to thrive? Have you heard of it in infants, in adolescents, in the elderly? How many of you have done much research or at least know a little bit about it? A little bit? Okay, so there's a variety of causes of failure to thrive. In infants, they may have a gastro problem to where they can't get the nutrition they need. It may be that they have an ill-equipped parent that may be a little teenage, and a lot of times little teenage parents, sometimes they don't really grasp all the responsibilities, and sometimes baby can thrive from lack of nutrition, can thrive from just lack of holding, just being in presence. Today, if God is trying to tell us we're like little babies when we come to him, then do you think we're just going to make it on our own? Does a baby make it on their own? They'll go to fail to thrive. And God wants us to thrive. So to thrive, we've got to have nourishment. And that nourishment is the pure milk of God's word. I encourage you, if you've never read one book in the Bible, I want you to start with John. Find a translation that you like, and I want you to read it. I don't care if it takes you 2 years to read it. I want you to read it. And the second thing that I want us to look at is if I can catch up with my notes, is getting to know Jesus by hanging out with him in prayer. Hanging out with him. I use the word hanging out because I think that when we say prayer, we somehow put in our mind an idea of what that looks like. Oh, holy gracious Father, no, 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 no. And what did that do for you? Zero. But it's a conversation. A conversation is a mutual exchange. It's a time of communication where two people communicate. So prayer can be an ongoing process throughout your day, and I hope it's not begging. I have caught myself all day long begging because the life stress was so bad. I was just, please God, all day long. You with me? Yeah, yeah. Well, let's try to eliminate some of the begging, because that's worrying. We're just kind of worrying to God, and God's up there going, okay, what do you want me to do about it? How many of you have kids that said everything that they didn't like and what they want, but they didn't even ask you? And you're going, when are you going to ask me? And that's what God does. So prayer, it's a conversation, but I'm going to tell you, how many of you are married? I want to see the married people, or have ever been married or something, have a boyfriend or girlfriend or something. Okay. How's that going to work if you never talk to each other? It isn't, is it? It's not going to work. You're going to have time in the Lord's presence to where it's nothing else is going on. Your time is not divided with the TV. Your time is not divided with the kids. And that's really hard with mothers, because by the time the kids are in bed, you're ready to fall in bed yourself. But you guys, stopping and spending time in the presence of the Lord. And you're like, what do I say? I just sit there and go, okay, hi, God. Well, if you don't know how to start with the Lord's Prayer. You can find it, Google it. Hey, Google it. It'll take you right there. Second thing is, Google the Prayer of Jabez. You know, and then just take some time, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, grow. Because I'm going to tell you what leaks out our happiness and our peace is when we haven't had those two things happening in our life. It is. It's the truth. If there's ever been a time in the church world that we have a form of godliness, but we don't have power in our life, it's in today's world because we're trying to squeeze way too much stuff in this world. And we're not intentional. We let the rest of everything else dictate everything that we do. Instead of us taking control and saying, I will live intentional. This is going to be my time with the Lord. This is going to be my time to learn about Him. And then the last thing I'd like to talk to us about that we desperately need is relationship building that is healthy among the saints. It's essential. And it's essential that you have been getting the Word of God in you, getting to know Jesus' idea of friends and what He has to say about relationships and what His thoughts are about just living life, period. It's important that you get that down and then you've digested it in His presence because the Holy Spirit will bring to mind things that He'll help you connect what His Word has to say to what's going on in your life specifically. And then when it comes to building healthy relationships within the church, how many of you have been gun shy because you've gotten so hurt from somebody in the church? I know you, the rest of you are lying. We're nothing but a bunch of imperfect people. I'm just kidding, guys. But the truth is, there's been somebody, sometime, and thank you for your honesty, there's been somebody, sometime, that has offended us, and we've had to pray through it, or we just stuffed it. Now, Cameron, I have some honesty. I've been there, and I'll bet everyone else has been. And so it's extremely important that we've been doing the other two practices where we can have the power of God in our discernment. In choosing healthy friends, healthy friends. Because this is about you keeping your happiness, about you sustaining a thriving life, and you put the wrong friends in your life, it can absolutely suck you dry. And brother, you're shaking your head like I've been there, done that, and you know, doesn't it? So you guys, this has been everything I have here you haven't even heard. But I want to hit the points that I know God told me to say. Amen. Lastly, I want to talk about the support that you have here to go the distance. I've been talking about things that you need to place intentionally in your life. But I want you to know there's been another intention that God has placed, a plan for your life to help you to grow and mature. Have you ever wondered why there's certain things that you're kind of good at? The enemy tries to rob you of knowing those things because of lots of pain, scars, wounds, negative labels that have been put in your life. But if you shove all that aside, you can find something in you that actually you really are pretty good at. But you've let all this other stuff identify you. But as you're spending time in the Lord is telling you who your new identity is. The Lord is saying, behold, old things have passed away. I've given you a brand new shirt to wear. You don't have that shirt that's been ripped and torn where the devil's tried to tear you up to pieces. I've given you a new shirt. I want you to wear it with confidence. The Lord says that He is for us and not against us, and that He has a future and a hope for us. See, we've got to believe what God is saying about us because if the enemy can lie to us and tell us that we're that old person and that we're no good, and that what you thought was a gift is you just ought to be left out of town. But instead, we need to begin to be intentional to believe what Jesus has said. How many times have you told your kids when they were discouraged over and over and over, and you want to just slap a knot on them because they're not getting it? That they're smart, they can do this, they can do it. Or some bully at school's been saying this, that, and the other, and it's undermined their confidence. And you've told them, and then your kids say, "What, my kids, your mom, you're supposed to tell me that." And you're like, God's been trying to tell us what our new identity is. That the things that he placed within us when we were born in our DNA, when he rebirthed us spiritually, he wants that to come out. And he wants you to mature. He wants a consistent walk. He doesn't want to continue and condemn you. This isn't about condemnation today. This is about practices that we can be intentional with in order to live a very peaceful, happy life. Are you with me? This isn't a shout happy sermon. But this is something that's going to put money in your bank. And it's going to help you this week. You with me? Now, the last thing that God has intentionally put in a plan for us, I'll go back to what Pastor Chuck said. There's a plan. We've got some things going. And I want you to plug in. I believe to sustain happiness and peace for the believer, for you and I, we must mature beyond a moment of emotion, that epiphany, that moment, to a lifestyle, not a moment, but a lifestyle of developing an understanding of the new identity that Christ has given us and the mind that he's helping you to transform and think like. It will become our new culture. We're no more Democrat, Republican. We're no more associated with the world. Our home is not this home anymore, you guys. We do what we do because we love Jesus. We do what we do because we have taken on a new lifestyle. We have learned what he has to say about the matters in life. So we don't encumber ourselves with the weight of the world. There's a lot of war going out there, and if we're not careful, we're going to entangle ourselves. We've got to be about the Father's business. We've got to take on Jesus. And there's going to be times, guys, I can talk about this all day long. There's going to be times that you're going to go, "Man, I suck today. I messed up today." All the more reason, go spend time in his presence, because that's the part of the thriving. A baby, toddler, gets up to try to walk. Do they fall? Of course they do. But what does mom do? What does dad do? Or auntie or whoever's watching, they'll scoop them up in their arms and they hold them. The Lord wants to scoop you up in his arms. He wants you to get still and quit working so hard to do it yourself. He's sorrowful that your happiness and your peace has drained out. It's been squeezed out with all the different voices and the noises in the world trying to take away everything from you. He just wants to scoop you up and love on you for a moment and to refresh your spirit and to replenish your body and to remind you that he has words of life. He will speak to you through the lyric of a song. And Pastor Paul, if you'll begin to make your way, and whoever else you want to come on up here, music team. He will speak to your spirit. The lyrics today is, "Hungry I come." I can't even think of the rest of the words. "Hungry I come, and I'll wait, I'll wait, I wait. I'm empty, I need help. I messed up. I didn't even read your word this morning. I need help, Jesus. Will you strengthen me? It's been hard today. It's been hard today. Will you please scoop me up and remind me who I belong to? Who will help me? That I really do have happiness." Have you ever wondered how the saints that are being killed, how are they having happiness? Have you wondered about that? It's because their happiness is not in the freedom America offers. Their happiness is not in the materialistic things they can buy. Their happiness is not in the coat that they wish they had around their shoulders. Their happiness is in knowing that this world is not their home. That they're only passing through, and that they count everything as loss just to have Christ. You guys, God's given us an awesome responsibility, and that's our freedom. He's given us an awesome time to be able to allow our pastors to just bless us with word. Take your notes. Take it and chew it up again at home. Be intentional. Don't set your goals so big you can't attain. But I want a commitment from you. I want a commitment from you that you will evaluate and be intentional to do these three practices. Will you please? And we can start today because today's Fellowship Sunday. And you can start with the third one about trying to cultivate healthy relationships. We're not looking for perfection. We're looking for those who are in this thing together with us as a team. Pastor Paul.
Amen. Hello. Did you enjoy that word today?
Yes.
Give the Lord a big hand clap. Hallelujah. We're going to be dismissed in a minute. But as we get ready to do that, there's maybe somebody here today who that word spoke to you. I want you to bow your heads for a minute. It's always a good time when we're in God's presence to give people a chance to respond to what God is speaking to you. It's not good enough to just go out. You heard something good, but if God is speaking to you, the Holy Spirit wants you to respond. If we had a bunch of money that we were giving away, and in order for you to get it, all you'd have to do is respond. You just say, yes, I would like to receive that which you want to give me. And that's what God is saying to you today. Jesus made a statement that's better than anything I've ever heard. He said, come all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And God has something for you today. So if that's you, I want you to just raise your hand. In a minute, we'll stand and you can come down and some of us can pray with you so that you can get the help you need today. Thank you for raising your hand.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.